I too want to say good morning. This is a new thing for us to start a new year with. I guess we've all been going virtually in 2020, but this is the first time that we have ever started a year virtually. And I'm thankful for the men who are here today to help lead us in worship. And thank you, Yusef, for helping us to join our voices and our hearts together as we praise God. Let me just say a couple of things as we begin. This is somewhat exciting. We're going to have a great year in 2021. Amen. That's what we're going to do. We're going to look forward to good things in 2021. I want to just say this because we are starting the new year out virtually. If you were here in person, our elders would be passing out a devotional book to you. The elders decided to start the year out to help us to be encouraged to build our faith through this new year. And so we have some devotional books. We'll give you those on the 17th. As Brent mentioned earlier, we will be virtual on the 10th. So one more week of virtual. And then on the 17th, that will be the first in-person service of 2021. And we're excited about that. And as Brent mentioned, of course, we're looking forward to having a great year. And we're looking forward to just getting this pandemic behind us. Let me say this, and I, from my opinion and I guess my impression of 2020, this is the first time really that we have experienced a global pandemic. I mean, in my life, this is the first time we've gone through any kind of challenges like this as a congregation, as a church family. And so the thing that impressed me the most through this year is I got to see a lot of resilience. Moments like this, when we experience a very difficult challenge, you get to see the faith or the lack thereof of a lot of people. Faith comes to the forefront of in the lives of people when you face difficulty. And what I have noticed in the Fulshear Church of Christ, I've got to see a lot of wonderful men and women come together to be resilient, to help 2020 to continue to be a great year. We had a great year last year, and we're looking forward to a great year again. And it will be because of the resilience of the faith of this faithful church. And I'm thankful that we are starting this new year out together and in God's Word. And I want to talk a little bit about what we believe. I will through the lesson say I believe, but encouraging all of us to embrace these truths, to say this is what we believe in general. Now, the passage that Brock read a few moments ago, he read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And one of the things that was brought out in verse 6 is, whoever would, according to verse 6, whoever would be drawn to God, he who comes to God, God will draw him. And so without faith, it's impossible to please him. We have to be drawn toward God. God is a force to draw us toward himself. But in verses 1 through 3, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. The things which are not seen were not made of things that are visible. Here, faith is the substance of what we hope for, the evidence of what we believe. And so let's talk about some things that we believe as we're drawn to God. Let me just say this. You've seen people I've seen people, I've seen some who have a magnetic personality, we would say. You know, they just got that charisma about them. There's just something that's magnetic about them. Well, the idea behind that is like an actual magnet that draws metal to itself. I know many of you probably are a lot like me. I've stuck a magnet in a bag of nails before and then pulled it out. And you got all those nails that are sticking to the magnet. You see, a magnet has that, it's the drawing card, if you will. It has the force behind it to draw metal to itself. And you know what? That's exactly what our God is. Our God is a force that has the ability to draw things to, literally, these things are people, to draw people to himself. Now, I do realize that Hebrews 11 verse 6, the passage that Brock read before us, talks about anyone coming to God or anyone that's drawn toward God. And I want to talk just about a few ways that we are drawn toward God this year. Hopefully this will be kind of a stepping stone for us, if you will. As Brent mentioned a few moments ago, you know, we're looking forward to some great things happening this year. We're looking forward to breaking ground in just a few weeks. We're looking forward to doing some great things in this year by way of letting our light shine and being a visible place for this city of Fulshear to be drawn to God. And we're going to do a lot of good things, but let's not forget that our main focus is to seek and to save the lost. That's the very purpose for which Jesus came, Luke 19, verse 10. And it's the purpose that we embrace as the Fulshear Church of Christ. So God, though, has the ability of drawing people. And I don't know if you've thought about all of the ways that God draws people, but let's just talk about a few of them for just a moment as to how God would draw us. Number one, He draws us by the death of His Son. He draws people by the death of His Son. His death, the death of Jesus Christ, His death draws people. Certainly that's indicated in John chapter 12, verses 32 and 33, that Jesus is the drawing card. Now, I want to emphasize this more than, I guess, anything else I'll say today, because I think what happens to the church, what happens to us here at Fulshear, is we're always looking for ways to be creative about what we can do, greater ways in which we can serve, things that we can biblically do as God's people to help just get more excitement, more energy. But let's not forget that Jesus is the drawing card. He is appealing enough, and what He did on the cross for our sins is enough to draw people to God. We sing the song. I know Youssef's led it before. Brother Dan's led it before. There's power in the blood. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Amen? By that power, our sins are forgiven. By that power of His blood, it draws us together as a family. It was necessary, though, that Christ die on the cross, that He shed His blood in order that men might be drawn to God. Without the power of the death of Christ and the blood He shed, we really would not be drawn to God. Now, there's some things that are certainly attractive, many things that are attractive about God, but I think to me, and just my opinion, the most attracting thing is that God did for us what we could not do for ourselves. God saves us from our sins by the power of the blood of His Son. You know, animal sacrifices were offered under the law of Moses, but there's no real drawing card with that. Just offering an innocent animal, watching the blood spill from that animal, watching the blood be offered to God. I mean, there's no real drawing force in that. It's just an animal. And in many ways, there's no real connection to the personality or to the to have compassion for that animal per se. It's just whether it was a goat or whether it was a bull or whether it was some of those smaller offerings like doves and other sacrifices that were offered by way of blood. And so they only, though, could help for 1 year, right? The blood of Jesus, though, is that one-time sacrifice that was offered for all, and that blood helps to draw men toward God. It took the death of God's only Son to put into force the power or the effect of drawing people to God. It opens the door to God, if you will. It was the blood of Jesus. You might remember that once He died on the cross, that veil was torn from top to bottom. That veil opened up once for all access to God, and people are drawn to that. You might remember Jesus addressed this when He was talking to Nicodemus in chapter 3 in the Gospel of John, beginning in verse 10, when Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one ascended to heaven but He who came down from heaven." Now, Jesus is talking about Himself. That is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he didn't send his only Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus is the drawing card, the salvation, the grace that we live and stand in is a drawing card for us. You might remember in John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door, right? If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. In John chapter 14, verse 6, what does our Lord say? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he opened that entrance to God Almighty. In Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, having now been justified, get this, by his blood. You see, the death of Jesus, the death of God's only Son, draws us to him. Justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Then you might remember 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, where Paul says, for the love of Christ compels us. It literally motivates us. It draws us, if you will, to God Almighty. Number two, only the death of Jesus is a drawing card, but number two, people are drawn to God by good works. Let me just tell you, what people see in you and me as followers of Jesus and what we do for the good of those who are around us is absolutely important to the kingdom work of God. And it helps to draw people to God. Let me just say in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, what did our Lord say? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Glorify God who's in heaven. You see, what we do for others is not to lift ourselves up, but it's to lift God up and let people see that we serve a great God. Good works oftentimes softens the hearts of people. How many times have you seen someone do a good work for someone who had sort of a hard heart? And then over time, those good works, through the process of God working through his people in his kingdom, allowed those hard hearts to be softened and ultimately to hear the good word of God. Good works arouse interest. People take note when we do good things. That's going to happen here in Fulcher. When we do good things in this community, people take note. They'll say, hey, there's something special about those good folks at the Fulcher Church of Christ. Or they will say things like, you know what, I've been impressed with what they have done. I noticed not long ago, Brent and his family, on behalf of the Fulcher Church, delivered some Bibles and some goodies to the police station here in Fulcher. And those officers were so grateful for that. They posted it publicly on Facebook. And that wasn't the purpose for us doing it. It was to do it to honor God. But they took note of the good works that are done. How many times have we served our seniors right here of this community in this community center? And people appreciate that. It arouses interest. The Bible says in Galatians 6, verse 10, let us do good to all men, right? Especially those of the household of faith. We're going to do good to one another. This is our focus. We're going to do good to one another. But don't forget the first part of this. Let us do good to all men. That's our responsibility to help those who are outside of Christ. Number three, your personal life draws people to God. Now, I realize in the context I'm going to read in 1 Peter chapter 3 that Peter is talking about the good conduct of faithful Christian wives, how they could win their husbands over. And I understand that's the context, but if Peter is saying that that's true about Christian wives winning their non-believing, unchristian husbands to Christ, then we have to understand that's obviously important for every one of us, because if our good character, our good Christian morals, our good Christian living can win others to Christ, then let's do everything that we can to be a drawing card for God. Certainly God uses his people to draw others to himself. Notice that passage in 1 Peter 3, beginning with verse 1. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if they do not obey the word, they, now get this, they without a word, not with preaching, not throwing scripture in their face, not opening up a Bible, but they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. There's that good Christian living that's having an influence on a non-believing spouse. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward arranging of the hair, wearing gold or putting on fine apparel, but rather the hidden person of the heart with an incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. I think that's applicable to every one of us. Now, I'm looking at a group of men this morning, all men in here this morning. And I would tell you why while Peter was writing that to Christian women to win their non-believing spouses, that's true for us, guys. That's true for us because the world will be won by our Christian influence. We spend a lot of time looking good on the outside. Peter's saying, hey, let's spend a lot more time on the inside. You've heard that little phrase, or it's actually a song, little saying about the world's Bible. Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in his way. He has no tongue but our tongue to tell men how he died. He has no help but our help to bring them to his side. We are the only Bible this careless world will read. We are the only sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message given in deed and word. What if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred? What if our hands are busy with other things than this? What if our feet are walking with sin's allurement? What if our tongues are speaking of things his life would spurn? How can we hope to help him and welcome his return? You see, there's some truth about if we're not living a Christian life, as much as if living a Christian life draws people to God, our non-Christian living could push people away further from knowing God. It's important for us. It was Paul who said, you know, I'm living in a way that helps to draw people to God. Galatians 2, verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. Get this, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, we can be a magnet, can't we? We can be a positive force that draws people to God. And then finally, number four, God's word draws people. God gave us his word. He's given us many gifts. Think about all the good gifts that God has given. He's given the gift of his son. He's given the gift of grace through his son. He's given us the gift of family, his church. He's given us the gift of individual mentors in our lives, people to encourage us, to build us up, to draw us closer to God. But one of the greatest gifts that God has given through his spirit is his wonderful word. Jesus says in John chapter 6, beginning with verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Jesus says that God's word can be a drawing card to get us closer together. And think about that. His word motivates us to begin this journey of faith. That was a passage Brock read in Hebrews 11, verse 6. You know, his word can motivate us to turn our hearts away from sin and toward Jesus and walk in his direction, 2 Corinthians 7, verses 9 through 10. It helps us to learn about Jesus in such a way that we want to give our allegiance to him and confess his matchless name, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And then the Word of God tells us about how when we are immersed in the blood of Jesus in the waters of baptism, we are raised to walk in newness of life, that actually we have been joined together with Jesus Christ, Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Now, I want to encourage you in this brand new year to start on a journey of faith. There are some things that we believe in the Fulshear Church of Christ. We want to fortify those beliefs, right? We learned last year that life can be tough, that all of the plans that we have can be changed very quickly, and it takes faith to help keep us grounded. It takes faith to motivate us to keep moving forward. It takes faith, even in the toughest of times, to do what God wants us to do as His family and to be the kind of people that help others to come to know Him. That's what we want to be this year in the Fulshear Church of Christ. We want to be a people who believe in God, who believe in God's Word, who believe in one another, and who believe that we can do great things by the power of our great God. Our God can do more than what we can ask or think. Amen? And He's going to do that this year. I'm looking forward to it. He's going to do that in 2021. If you have not gotten your emblems ready to observe the Lord's Supper, please go ahead and do that at this time. Brother Youssef is going to lead us in a song to help kind of get our hearts and minds ready as we will share together as the Lord's body, remembering the body of Jesus and remembering the blood of Jesus. And Brother Luke's going to lead us in a time of prayer and thought as we observe the Lord's Supper today. Again, we want to just say thank you for spending this time with us.